this is a classic example of that. Verse 12 is where we'll begin of John chapter 2. It says, "And after this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother, and his brethren, and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. When he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the chargers' money and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them as sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." Two times in this passage we have this phrase, verse 17 and verse 22, his disciples remembered. And that'll be our title today. Let's pray. Lord, we are coming to you with grateful hearts for our salvation and for the word of God. And we pray now that you would use the word in our lives, Lord, and teach us and work miracles in our hearts. Lord, we pray that you would be in control, that you, the Holy Spirit, would guide the service. You would guide us in your truth, and Jesus would be lifted up. We love you and commit this service to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So in this passage, Jesus, we see him initially rebuking the money changers. It wasn't a sin to be a money changer. It was a very important thing, actually, because when people would travel long distances to bring their offering to the priest, it was just expedient that they often bring money and then buy something when they get there, rather than to carry, you know, this lamb for hundreds of kilometers or whatever. They would buy something to sacrifice when they got there. The problem wasn't that. The problem was that they were overcharging. They were essentially making a profit on this need that people had to purchase animals to be sacrificed. And so Jesus here was rebuking them for that. If you go to Isaiah 56, verse 7, God is rebuking Israel for a similar thing. Now, in a parallel passage in the Gospels, Jesus also said, My house is to be a house of prayer. Amen. Isaiah 56, verse 7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Now God here is specifically referring to the Jewish temple, yes. But you and I are now the temple, aren't we? There is no longer a temple where a high priest accepts sacrifices and gives them. That ended when God tore the veil from top to bottom. Through Jesus Christ, we have access to the Holy of Holies now. But we are now the temple of God. This was a physical temple that Jesus came and dealt his righteousness, if you will, to them, but you and I are now the temple of God. And God even says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, Know ye not that you're the temple of God? And we are. And our temple should also be a house of prayer. Amen? Pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, and so forth. But the disciples, this is verse 17 of our passage, they remembered. They stopped and they said, There's something in the Bible about this. And so they remembered an Old Testament scripture that applied to what Jesus was doing early in his ministry here. And what a blessing. that they were able to take the Word of God and see this is a fulfillment of the Old Testament Scriptures. They remembered. And the verse, by the way, is Psalm 69, verse 9, if you want to turn there. This is the verse that they remembered. They would have known the Scriptures, and as they would have grown with Christ, they would have become more and more familiar with the Old Testament Scriptures if they weren't already. And this verse is the verse that Jesus fulfilled. It says, "For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me." And so the disciples were able to take the Scriptures and say, "Yes, I see how that applies to this event." Do you think God wants the same from us? He wants us to remember. Amen. When we are faced with temptations, with trials, with anything, you know what He wants us to do? He wants us to remember what the Bible says about that situation, about that incident. And so back to our passage, John chapter 2. Now these Jewish leaders come to Jesus and they say unto Him, verse 18, "What sign showest thou?" What sign are you going to show us to show us that you have the authority to come in and clean up this mess with the money changers? Why do you think you have the authority? You need to show us a sign. Jesus said, verse 19, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Jesus, of course, as He often did, was giving a play on words. He's dealing with the physical temple. He says, "Destroy this temple." So they're immediately thinking temple. "And in 3 days I'll raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But He spake of the temple of His body. Now they didn't understand this at the time. And by the way, neither did the disciples. Now in Matthew 12, if you want to turn there, verse 38, Jesus again made it very clear, Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, that He was referring to His own body, His temple, that He would raise it up in 3 days, that He would come back from the dead after being crucified. Matthew 12, 38, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from Thee. But He answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given it, or given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three days and three nights in the heart of the earth." He said, "This is the only sign that I'm going to give you. The sign of My own resurrection from the dead. That's going to be your sign. That I am who I claim to be." The Bible says the Jews require a sign in 1 Corinthians 1:22. Well, they didn't understand. Even the disciples did not initially understand. We've seen this many times when we've studied the life of Christ, that Jesus often would prophesy what was going to happen, that He would be scourged, that He would be crucified, that He would die, and that He would come back to life. But after it all happened, the disciples ran and hid. They didn't understand. So down in verse 22, it says, "When therefore He was risen from the dead, His disciples remembered." What did they remember? They remembered what He had said to them many times. "Gentlemen, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to go to Jerusalem." Let's look at it. Luke 18, verse 33. Many times He told them exactly the events that would take place. Luke 18, look at verse 32. "For He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge Him, and put Him to death, and the third day He shall rise again." Look at verse 34. "And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken." So when Jesus told them, "This is what's going to happen," they didn't understand. So after Jesus appeared to them, which took two times for Thomas, of course, Then what? They remembered. Oh, yeah. Jesus told us he was going to come back from the dead. Remember when the first time that they were told he would come back from the dead by Mary, what was their reaction? Oh, it must be his ghost, or it must be his spirit. Surely Jesus didn't come back from the dead. Wait a minute, guys, he told you he would. But they didn't believe until Jesus actually appeared to them when they were hiding out. Now the disciples, while they're hiding, the Romans, they put a stone and sealed the tomb. But eventually, they remembered. Amen? They remembered. Jesus said this would happen. Romans 10:9, turn there if you would. Most of us know this verse. If you do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. You must believe in his person. You must believe why he died for our sins. But you also must believe that he came back from the dead. And by the way, if you don't believe that, what's the point of even getting saved? If you don't believe there is a resurrection, then what's the point? What do you need saved from if you're just going to go into the dirt and quit existing? But if there is a resurrection, if we are going to be eternal, which we are, then it's very important that we believe, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You've got to believe that he came back from the dead. You have to believe that. And his disciples eventually got there. Amen? It says they remembered. Now look at 1 Corinthians 15:12. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear that without the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christianity has no hope. 1 Corinthians 15, look down at verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. If the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. And they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Two times in this passage we see the disciples remembering. Once they remembered an Old Testament prophecy of Jesus, which they were then able to say, we're witnessing the fulfillment of this with our very eyes. They remembered. And then once after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to them and said, gentlemen, I told you this is what was going to happen. I told you they were going to kill me. I told you I was going to come back from the dead after 3 days and three nights. I made that very clear. They remembered. This is what God wants from all of us. That whatever comes our way, he wants us to remember. Amen? Are we going to face trials? Absolutely. And when they come, what does he want us to do? Remember the word of God. Remember the promises of God. Remember that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. Amen? That God is always with us. And the times when we often need most to remember is when we are going through a trial of some sort. But the Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. We need to remember that, don't we? When we go to make decisions. The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. We need to remember that. That we need to keep our mind on our Lord. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We need to remember that when we get weary, don't we? Bible says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. We need to remember that when the devil's attacking, that God's love never goes away. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3. We need to remember that when we're praying. Amen. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. We need to remember that. That if we will believe that our God can do anything, He will. We need to remember. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. We need to remember that. When the devil says, oh, there's no hope. There's hope. We're going to heaven. We know that all things work together for good. Romans 8:28, to them that love God, to them who are the called. We need to remember that when the trials come, that God has a purpose in the trial. There had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who would not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. We need to remember that when we're tempted. This is what God wants. He wants us, like the disciples, to remember the scriptures when we face real life situations, that they need to be the same. There doesn't need to be two Christian lives. Amen. This is my Christian life and I'm going to do my best. And then this is the Word of God and I'm going to do my best to try to learn it. No, we need to try to live it. We need to remember these beautiful promises when life throws at us things that we didn't expect. Faithful is he that calleth thee, who also will do it. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we could go on and on, couldn't we? We, as Jesus' disciples, need to remember. We need to remember at the right time. When the temptation comes, remember. God is with you. God is going to make a way of escape. Don't remember afterwards, after you've succumbed to the temptation and sinned. Remember then. Which is why it's so important that we, what? Have the scriptures in us. So that there's something there to remember. Amen? How do we do that? Well, there's five ways to get the word in you. So let's talk about them. Isaiah 34:16. God wants us to remember, like the disciples, whatever comes our way, remember what God said. Isaiah 34:16, look what it says. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord, and what? Read. Well, that's pretty basic. Read the Bible every day. The more you read it, the more that will be in you, and the more there will be to remember when you're faced with a test. Joshua 1:8. Let's go there. We all love that verse. Many of us have memorized it. But look what it says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. If we do what? Meditate therein day and night. So reading, meditation, 2 Timothy 2:15. Let's turn there. Our goal from this standpoint should be to get it in us. Amen? To get it from here to here. So that when anything comes our way, we can remember what God said. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. Study the word. We're commanded to every day. Romans 10:17. Let's turn there. So the third way is study. So we need to read. We need to meditate. We need to study. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's God's will that we hear His word as much as we can. I was just talking to someone yesterday afternoon when I was making my visits, some people that have done a lot of church shopping, and we were reflecting on how back in the 90s, almost every church in town had evening services. This is back when we advertised in the newspaper, when there wasn't an internet. I know some of you don't know what that means, but... And now, We have people come to us sometimes on Sunday nights. They're like, well, you're the only church left in town that has an evening service. How'd that happen in just 20 years? How do we go from most churches having them to just us old fogies up here on Pukehangi Road having them? How'd that happen? Well, I'll tell you how it happened. The time will come when they will endure sound doctrine. The church isn't about the word anymore in most churches. It's about entertainment. It's about excitement. It's about whatever, hearing a great story. So if you're only going to church to have a good time and have your emotions pumped up and have a rock concert, why do you need to do it multiple times a week? Once is good, right? And so if people are looking for the word, where are they going to go? And that's how that happened. Anyway, I said all that to say we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Amen. We're to be faithful to church because God designed it such that we need it. And I don't preach like Paul. You know, nobody can say I preach too long. Paul preached past midnight. Somebody died because of that. Seriously, read it. Acts chapter 20. This poor guy fell asleep. He was sitting up in the loft on the edge of the wall. And Paul preached so long he fell asleep. Of course, none of us have ever fallen asleep during the preaching, of course. But this guy fell asleep during the preaching, fell out of the loft and died. Of course, Paul was able to bring him back to life. I can't do that, so please do not go up there and fall asleep and fall out of the loft, because we'll have a nice funeral for you, but we're not bringing you back to life. Anyway, he wants us to be faithful to church. Amen? That's another way that we get the word in us. So we need to read it. We need to meditate in it. We need to study it. We need to be faithful to church. And of course, you knew this was coming, Psalm 37:31. The most important, we need to memorize it. Amen? Psalm 37:31. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Is the law of God in your heart? Because that's going to help you to keep your steps from sliding. Because you'll remember. When the devil tries to make your steps slide, because you have so much of the word in your heart, you'll stop and say, oh yeah, the Bible says this. The Bible says that's a sin. I need to not do it. Amen. Psalm 40, verse 8. Let's look at another one. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. David says, because your law is in my heart, I want to obey you. That's how it works. Most of us know Psalm 119:11, but we can turn there. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Say it with me. That I might not sin against thee. Amen. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And then Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Amen? And that's the fifth way to get the word in us. Now let's go back to our passage, John chapter 2, verse 22. God wants the word in us so that we can remember. And look what it says. When he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, that he had said this unto them. Look at the next phrase. And they believed the scripture. It always goes back to the scriptures. Amen. They believed the scripture. Now the disciples lived during this, what we'll call transitional time. But there's no question that at this moment, something changed. Amen. That after the resurrection, they believed the scripture. They didn't believe it up to this point completely because they didn't believe Jesus was going to come back from the dead, even though he told them he would. But now they remembered, and what? They believed. This is what God wants from us. this is real. This book is quick and powerful. Amen? And if the more of it that will get into our heart, the more the Holy Spirit has to work with so that we can remember. And it can stop us very often from making mistakes, from sinning, from breaking the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many times are we told to do this and to not do this? Those are all good things. Those are all boundaries that He's given us to live by. But the more that we know, the more we can remember at the right time. And the disciples, they got there. And even though we're reading in John chapter 2, verse 22 is not referring to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Verse 22 is referring to the end of Jesus' ministry, isn't it? Because it says, when He had risen from the dead, that is when they remembered. And so they went through that whole 3.5 years not completely understanding what God's plan was about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But after He'd risen from the dead, praise God, they remembered and they believed. This is what God wants from us. He wants to make the Scriptures real in our lives. Amen? Make it real. So if you're here today, I hope you're making the Scripture real in your life. But if you're here and you're not even sure you're saved, like the disciples, you need to believe that Jesus died and rose again for you, which He did. And through what He did, He offers you eternal life. He loves you. He wants you to be saved. So there's no reason to leave not saved. And in a moment, you'll have an opportunity to come and say, you know, I want to make sure. I'm not sure I'm saved. I want to make sure. We'll have someone show you the gospel. And you can be saved today. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious and powerful and beautiful word. Thank you for this reminder of how important it is that we remember your word. And Lord, especially at times when we're tested by sin, by the world, by the devil, Lord, when we're tempted to get discouraged or whatever, those are the times we need your help in remembering what you've promised us in your precious word. And we know that will get us through. So thank you. I pray this would become real for us and that we would do everything in our power, Lord, to get more of the word in us through reading it, meditating in it, studying it, memorizing it, and being in church. And Lord, thy will be done in our hearts and lives.